41. Zero. Everything in the trailer that Macon and Edward hadn't brought in with them was squared away at right angles. They'd unpacked their blue duffels and the cartons. Edward, seated in the Chinese chair, was cabling things to Burton's display. One of the cables ran to the white controller, centered on the drum-taut army blanket on Burton's bed. "Nothing's wireless?" she asked.
"These aren't just cables. They're about a third of the device. Give me your phone."
She handed him her phone, which he passed to Edward.
"Password?"
"Easy ice," she said. "Lowercase, no space."
"That's such a shit password. It's not even a password."
"I'm just a normal fucking person, Macon."
"Normal fucking people never do whatever it is you're about to."
He smiled.
"Ready,"
said Edward, who'd already cabled her phone, rolling the chair back from the table.
"Can we get the lights down?" asked Macon. "You'll have your eyes closed, but this is still too bright. Otherwise, there's an eye shade for you."
She went to the display, waved through it, turning the LEDs down to Teen Boy Sex Pit.
"Okay?"
"Perfect," said Macon. "How's this gonna work?" she asked him.
"You lay on the bunk here, head at a comfortable angle, wearing this,"
indicating the controller.
"Close your eyes. We'll be here for you if you need us."
"For what?" He indicated a yellow plastic bucket with Hefty Mart stickers still on it.
"Nausea's a possibility. Inner ear thing. Phantom inner ear," she said, "but I think that was shorthand for our benefit. You fast?"
"By accident," she said. "I'm starving."
"Use the toilet now," said Macon. "Then we go."
"I go."
"I know. Pisses me off."
"Jealous of the crown?"
"Curious, as I've ever been."
"Whatever it is, I'll tell you."
"Not while it's happening, you won't. This thing works. You'll be in an induced version of sleep paralysis."
"Like how we don't hurt ourselves when we're dreaming we do things?" She'd seen an episode of Ciencia Loca about that, plus lucid dreaming and being hag-ridden.
"That's it. Go use the ladies now. It's time."
When she came out of the trailer, she saw Burton and Carlos standing there about 15 feet away. She gave them the finger, went into the toilet where there was no light at all, peed, hoped she didn't get the cedar sawdust on the seat in the dark, came back out, used sanitizer, and stepped up into the trailer, ignoring Burton and Carlos. Closed the door behind her. Macon and Edward were looking at her.
"Take off your shoes," said Macon.
She sat down on the bed, Macon carefully moving the controller aside for her. She got a closer look at it as she took her sneakers off. It looked tight, as all of Macon's top-end printing, tight as her phone, except for the sugar plum fairy stuff he'd fabbed it from. Edward was positioning Burton's pillow.
"Have any more pillows?" he asked.
"No," she said. "Bunch it in half. You have their login?"
"We do."
Burton produced a little plastic tube, showed her the PharmaJohn logo.
"This'll be cool."
"That's what they all say," she said. Macon put saline paste on his fingertip. "Don't get any in my eyes." He spread a line of chill wetness across her forehead, like some weird and possibly unwelcome blessing. Then he picked up the controller.
"Pull your hair back."
She did, and he settled it on her head.
"Fit?"
"I guess. It's heavy. In front."
"Our hunch is that the real deal weighs about as much as a pair of throwaway sunglasses, but this is the best we can do, short notice, on our printers. Pinch anywhere?"
"No."
"Okay, so it's heavy, right? I'm gonna hold on to it while you lay back, slow, and Edward will position the pillow, okay? Now."
She lay back, straightened her legs.
"Because of the cable," Macon said, "you need to keep your hands away from your head, your face, okay?"
"Okay."
"We're running off our own batteries here, just in case."
"Of what?"
"More doctor's orders."
She looked from him to Edward, just moving her eyes, then back to him. "So?" He reached down, took her right wrist in his hand, squeezed it.
"We're here. Anything looks too funny, we get you out. We built in some very basic monitors on our own. Vital signs."
He released her wrist.
"Thanks.
What do I do?"
"Close your eyes. Count down from 15. About 10 should be a wobble."
"Wobble?"
"What she called it. Keep your eyes closed. Keep counting down to 0. Then open them. We see you open them. It hasn't worked."
"Okay," she said. "But not until I say go." Holding her head still, she looked up and to the right. The window in the wall beside her. Up. The ceiling. Tubes of lights glowing in polymer. Toward her feet. Burton's display. Edward. To her left. Macon. The closed door behind him. Go, she said, closing her eyes. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10. Pop. That color like Burton's haptic scar, but she could taste it inside her teeth. 9, 8, 7, 6. It hadn't worked. Nothing had happened. 5, 4, 3. She should tell them. 2, 1, 0. She opened her eyes. A flat ceiling sprang away, polished, 6 feet higher than the one in the trailer, as the room reversed, was backwards, was other, weight of the crown gone, her stomach upside down. A woman's eyes, close, weirdly blurred. She didn't remember sitting up, but then she saw her own hands, and they weren't hers. If you need this, the woman said, holding out a steel canister. There's nothing in you but some water. Flynn leaned over, saw a face not hers reflected in the round, mirror-polished bottom. Froze. Fuck. The lips there forming the word as she spoke it. What the fuck is this? She came up off the bed fast. Not a bed, a padded ledge. She was taller. Something's wrong, she heard herself say, but the voice wasn't hers. Colors. You're accessing input from an anthropomorphic drone, the woman said. A telepresence avatar. You needn't consciously control it. Don't try. We're recalibrating it now. Macon's device isn't perfect, but it works. You know Macon? Virtually, said the woman. I'm Ash. Your eyes. Contact lenses. Too many colors, she meant her own vision. I'm sorry, the woman said. We'd missed that. Your peripheral is a tetrachromat. A what? It has a wider range of color vision than you do, but we found the settings for that and are including them in the recalibration. Touch your face. Macon told me not to. This is different. Flynn raised her hand, touched her face, not thinking. Shit. Good. The recalibration is taking effect. Again, with both hands, like touching herself through something that wasn't quite there. She looked up. The ceiling was pale, polished wood, shiny, inset with round, flat little metal light fixtures glowing softly. Tiny room, higher than it was wide, narrower than the airstream. The walls were that same wood. A man stood at the far end by a skinny open door. Dark shirt and jacket.
Hello, Flynn, he said.
Human resources, she said, recognizing him. You don't look like you're going to need this, the woman called Ash said, putting the canister down on the cushioned ledge Flynn had awakened on. Awakened? Arrived? Would you mind speaking to Macon now? How? By phone. He's concerned. I reassured him, but it would help if he could speak with you. You have a phone? Yes, said the woman, but so do you. Where? I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. Watch. Flynn saw a small circle appear, like a badge in Badger. It was white, with a gif of a line drawing of an antelope or something running. She moved her eyes. The circle with the gif moved with them. What's that? My phone. You have one, too. I have Macon. Now I open a feed. A second circle expanded to the right of the gif, and larger. She saw Macon seated in front of Burton's display.
Flynn, he asked. That you?
Macon, this is crazy.
What did you do here just before we did the thing?
He looked serious. Had a pee?
He grinned.
Wow.
He shook his head, grinned. This is mission control shit.
He can see what I'm seeing, said Ash.
You okay? Macon asked.
Guess so.
You're okay here, he said.
We'll get her back to you, Macon, Ash said, but we need to speak with her now.
Send somebody up to the house to get me a sandwich, she said to Macon. I'll be starving.
Macon grinned, nodded, shrank to nothing, was gone.
We could move to my office, said the man.
Not yet, said Ash. She touched the pale wall and a section slid aside out of sight. A toilet, sink, shower, all steel. A mirror.
Flynn moved toward it.
Holy shit, she said, staring.
Who is she?
We don't know. This is a machine? She touched someone. Stomach. Breasts. She looked in the mirror. The French girl in Operation Northwind? No.
That's got to be somebody, she said.
Yes, said Ash, though we don't know who. How do you feel now?
Flynn touched the steel basin. Someone else's hand. Her hand.
I can feel that. Nausea? No. Vertigo? No. Why is she wearing a shirt like mine, but silk or something? Has my name on it.
We wanted you to feel at home.
Where is this? Columbia?
She heard how little she thought this last might be true.
That's my department, so to speak,
said the human resources man behind her. Netherton, she remembered. Wilf Netherton.
Come out to my office. It's a bit roomier. I'll try to answer your questions.
She turned and saw him standing there, eyes wider than she remembered, like someone seeing a ghost.
Yes, said Ash, putting her hand on Flynn's shoulder. Let's.
Her hand, thought Flynn, but whose shoulder? She let Ash guide her.